Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. This is Gilbert from Red Bluff, California.
This is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
Jesse from Camas, Washington.
Nandan from Camas, Washington.
So get your Bible, grab a cup of coffee. We're reasoning together through the Bible, and we are in Luke chapter 4. We just got through reading the context of verses 31 through 37, where Jesus went into a synagogue, and what did he find, Jesse?
Found demons and people there.
It's interesting. So synagogue is like a church. While we are taking a break, Jesse mentioned that that's the first thing that he noticed. He goes into a church or a synagogue, and there's a spirit of an unclean demon, a man that had a spirit of an unclean demon. What else do you say about that, Jesse?
What did Jesus notice right away? He noticed that there was somebody possessed by a demon. So if that can happen then, can that happen now? You know, Jesus walked into that. And where was he when he saw that? He wasn't just out on the street. He was in the synagogue.
So what would they think that is today? Maybe an epileptic seizure, and they would maybe call for 911. But what did Jesus do? Did he call for the ambulance?
No, Jesus told him to be quiet and come out.
And was the guy hurt at the end?
No.
Threw him down, and there was no harm to him. So the demon knew him, right?
The demon recognized that Jesus was the Holy One of God. He was the first one that recognized that.
So if you met Jesus on the street, most people won't recognize him, but people who are demon-possessed will. Did that bring that out here? This sounds like the funniest statement you've ever probably heard in your life.
That is exactly what it brought out.
Yeah.
The people in there didn't know who Jesus was, but the person that had an unclean demon, the demon in him knew who it was, knew who Jesus was.
And what did the demon call him again? Say that again in verse 34. What did the demon call Jesus?
The demon said, "I know who you are, the Holy One of God."
No person said that, did they?
No.
Some funny things really come out when you read the Bible. They don't tend to come out when you hear other people say it. But when you have time alone and you go like, what did I just read? And you slow down a bit and read it context by context. And it says, when he came into Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and he was teaching them on the Sabbath. So this is the day of rest, Saturday in the Old Testament times. So he's doing this, and in the synagogue was a man having a spirit of an unclean demon. And so they're also called unclean spirits. It says that in verse 36. He commanded the unclean spirit, or they're called demons. And I would say the place they like to inhabit is a man's spirit. But there's three places where they can attack people: their flesh or their mind, or in the very control place, the pilot, we'll call it the pilot seat, the controls. So what did the demon do to the poor guy? He threw him down. Does the demon want to help people, or do they just use a person?
Sounds like usury to me.
Now in verse 34, it says he cried out with a loud voice. So real loud talking here. And then it says, what have we to do with thee? Now, when you we, you're going plural. So this is showing that this person had more than one of these unclean spirits in them, showing it's a spiritual thing. It's not a physical thing. There's room in there for more than one. And this is the we part coming out. Then he makes his proclamation, I know who you are, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him and said, be silent and come out of him. And the demon threw him down on the ground and came out of him, having done him no hurt. So Jesus did good for this man, and this man was now a person that didn't have an unclean spirit in him. And one thing I'll notice here is that he never asked this man to leave.
No. He didn't call for an ambulance?
He didn't ask the man to leave the synagogue.
Right?
The man still was here. Just he took the unclean part out of him. There's something that Jesus could clean out of this man that was making him dirty that was called an unclean spirit.
And then again in verse 36, he commanded the unclean spirits, plural, and they came out of him.
There's two. The we are unclean spirits. It matches up for us, so we
actually
know it's
three.
True.
Three, because it says, and
they
came out of him. So it's a threefold
Three things saying about that.
Proof.
So you it just proofs it.
Yeah. And a lot of places in Scripture, many, some places up to several thousand demons in that one guy. He asked their name and they said legion, which means we are many. That's a lot. And this is the first thing that gets, but look at all the people. You drive down the road, and especially with all the homelessness today, some of them cannot live in a house. It says, there's places throughout the whole of the Bible that talk about this particular subject, that he could not even live in a house. You know, he was so demon-possessed, he couldn't. He just wandered about. And they cried with a loud voice. How many times have you driven down the road and seen a person what does not look normal, you know, has unusual
epileptic kind of movements.
Unusual movements, and they cry out in loud voices. They talk to themselves and cry out in loud voices. And it's not just drugs. There's other things going on that... So Jesus, the first thing he does, he comes and starts healing these folks, doesn't he, Jesse? And yet the church today is feckless. They're of no use to getting to the root of cleaning men's hearts and helping these people that are demon-possessed to be cleansed of demon possession. And they like to make stories, you know, they like to show stories of this in Halloween. They get a big kick out of this, but nobody's helping these folks in the places where they should be, in the synagogues today, in church buildings, the gathering together of people that believe in God.
And it's clearly shown here that the people in Capernaum were well-versed of people having these unclean spirits. They knew it, they believed it, but they'd never heard a teaching or seen anyone practice this before to fix that person.
But you'll never see this again in the Bible, right? You only see it one time.
It's in there. I'll say this. It's in there quite a few times, Gilbert.
Quite a few times. What if I don't want to take correction and say you're wrong? are you going to prove me wrong? We're playing here.
But this is, so our society, the society in the United States as a whole, does not put any credence in these statements at all.
Other countries... It's obvious. They know, like Indonesia, other places, they actually freely talk about it. My wife had a friend that was from Indonesia, and they freely talk about places where demons seem to inhabit. And they tell you what it is.
And it's believed. It's a spiritual thing that they believe.
Yeah.
So people either believe in spiritual things or they don't believe in them.
Right.
And this society does not. We have doctors that gonna fix your mind. Everything has to do with your mind. And this has to do with the spirit area, not with their mind. It's affected their mind, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and even in churches today, there's no credence given to the possibility of demons.
They don't teach about how to cleanse.
they don't teach about. They say that this is something that may have happened at one point, but it's not.
It doesn't exist anymore.
It doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah. And yet you see it every day when you drive in some parts of town. And the towns now, I remember back during the COVID, the people that were homeless seemed to be just let out. I think they don't have insane asylums. They don't, I remember back in the 50s and 60s that they were, like in Salem, had a huge one, but it seems like they've opened the door. They don't, it's so bad now because of drug infestation that there's so many, they don't know what to do with them. So now they used to just be in, a lot of them were in Salem around a certain street. You'd drive through there and you'd see a lot of what's happening all over the place now. And now it's in every town, but people that have a lot of wealth, they kind of corral them and they don't like them in their part of the city, but you'll see them in the poorer parts and maybe they'll take over a park. And then people complain about it, so they move them to another park, a little bit more out of sight and out of mind.
And they send them to lots of doctors and try to cure them with all sorts of drugs, but it's not a problem you can cure like that. You have to have a new teaching like this that can cure them.
It's not what the doctors call curative. It's palliative.
Meaning you can just treat it.
You can live with it. It's palliative. It's palatable. You don't like palatable. You can.
Oh, okay. That's part of the flavor of this place.
My wife, when she was having cancer treatment, they started saying, well, this is palliative, and that's not good news because that means the doctors.
It's accepting of it.
The doctors are giving you over. Mm. And how many people have we known the doctors said, you know, you're not going to make it? They did with me one time. And I'm still here. But so they couldn't do anything about it. So this is when the Lord has to step in and cure. So, but there's curative and the others, they give it a fancy name, but they're just making the person comfortable. And you cannot, this is one thing they can't make comfortable. They have to just get it under control. And the best way is to almost turn them into the worst, you almost have to go like comatose or zombie-like or wherever they are not going to hurt anybody else is what they try to do. I don't see the person getting help, getting feeling better.
And in this story, Jesus didn't go hunting for him, didn't go looking for this guy with this unclean spirit. The unclean spirit came looking for Jesus.
He didn't find him in a bar.
So you see, you know why the unclean spirit came looking? Because he was worried. He was worried that he was going to be destroyed soon. So they know about things in the future. So unclean spirits, demons, they know the future of what's going to be their end. And that's another story altogether.
What have we to do with thee, Jesus? You come to destroy us? That's what the demon-possessed said. Because the demons are, there's a whole long story about that, and you have to understand the creation story to understand where they came from. And it's very interesting. There was a time when hell was not yet set on fire. Mm-hmm. And where did they come from? Was there... And, you know, people realize that the earth is not just 6,000 years ago. And it shows in the Bible of this one thing, men today are willingly ignorant that the earth is of old. Who's the only group of people that say the earth is not old?
Christians in a lot of cases.
They say it's only 6,000 years old. Now, the Jew doesn't say that. The Jew reads the Hebrew and he knows the earth is older than 6,000 years old. Now, it's not billions. It's not millions. It's a bit older. It's a reasonable amount. And I was telling a guy that this is Dennis Peterson, who's well known for teaching creation. He teaches in all the churches. And I questioned him about the earth being older. And he says, okay, don't tell me it's millions. I'm not saying that, Dennis, or billions. I said, it's not saying that. How about 20,000 years? And he goes, well, I finally got him to renege.
I could cotton up to that, huh?
Yes. I said, how about 120,000 or 20,000 years in the ice age? Because it talks about that, and he knew. He knows a bit more than a lot of Christians. But you cannot. He could not teach what he's that. He would not sell his book.
He wouldn't get many followers.
He's a scientist. He is a scientist first. He was a museum curator of Natural History Museum, knows about dinosaurs and so on. He knows about a lot of things, but to make it palatable to the Christian community, he could not bring that up. So we've had some private talks where we became very close friends. And we had some private talks, but there are certain things he could say in the Christian realm and some he couldn't. One was about the Y2K, the 2000, where the world's going to end. So he asked me, what do you think about the Y2K? Because it was big in the Christian circles, that something's going to happen around the year 2000. And I gave him a simple answer. I said, Dennis, somebody's going to make a lot of money on this. And that's all I told him. I wasn't buying into it. You know, like your computer's going to end. And so they were actually selling this in the Christian, and a lot of people were buying into it in the churches, and they fell for it. And a lot of people spent a lot of money on it. And yes, somebody did make a lot of money on it. And he wouldn't talk to me for a while. And then we started talking again, and we had this conversation about, don't you think the earth is older than 6,000 years? And I quoted that in 2 Peter. This one fact, men today are willingly ignorant that the earth is of old, and the earth formed in the water and by water, you know. And the old world that then was perished, overcome with water, perished. And what happened to those people that lived in that era? So anyway, that's all I'm going to say about demons at this time. But that's a creation story. You'll have to hear the creation teaching on that. But demons are a real thing. And most people, they know it. So the first place he goes is a church. And we're still in the church, verses 38. Still in the church setting to 39. You want to read that one, Landon?
Sure. 38 and 39?
Please.
Then he got up and left the synagogue and entered Simon's home. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked him to help her. And standing over her, he rebuked the fever, and it left her, and she immediately got up and waited on them.
You know, what's interesting is we went through the whole book of Mark, and it emphasized being a servant. First off is we have to be filled with the love of God in our heart, in our soul, and in our mind. We have to be filled with the love of God in our heart, soul, and mind. And then in the book of Mark, we found out the love of God was to be, it was to be so full, it was to come out of our heart, out of our soul, and out of our mind. In other words, we were to give that to others, and we would only be capable of serving after we knew that Jesus was a king and we started walking with him in the kingdom of God and knowing the ordinances and laws of God, knowing how to act like Jesus would act, basically, knowing how to think like Jesus thinks and so on, knowing the beginnings of that, and then we could serve. And here's this woman that is healed. And that term immediately is found in huge numbers compared to other places. It's found over 40-some times in the book of Mark, and there's only 16 chapters, right? So it's found like four times each chapter. That's a lot of immediately. So when you go into a restaurant, what do you want, help tomorrow with getting something to eat?
No, now. I'm hungry now.
Yeah. So here, this woman had a fever, and it was rebuked. And so now he's, how's he feel? How is he helping people now, Jesse?
He's healing their sickness. Now, an interesting word that I see here is rebuke, and it left her. That if we back up a little bit, Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out.
You caught it. So this was a spirit of infirmity. You'll see that later on in the Bible, where it's an attack on your physical body. It immediately left her. It wasn't something she had to be cured of, gone.
It wasn't a disease.
It was a demon causing a physical ailment. You ever seen people that are bowed over? Sometimes it is sclerosis, you know, don't get me wrong, or arthritic condition. So I'd never pick on a person for that, but sometimes it's a demon.
Mm-hmm. I've read this many times over the years, and I don't think I've ever caught that rebuke that second time.
Mm-hmm. It helps us slow down, doesn't it?
It does. So, and that's another thing that we can count demons can do. They can make you ill.
Yeah.
Physically.
Have a great fever.
You ever been in a place where all of a sudden there's an oppression and it actually makes you not feel good physically?
My wife and I were in a place in a city nearby a few months back, and she was, her note was, I don't feel good. I don't think we should be here anymore. And so we left. And she was fine after we left.
You ever driven through or been in some towns where you start fighting?
Yeah.
There's a certain place Carolee and I would drive by in New Mexico because a demon worship. Come to find out in an area, well, we would just start bickering over stupid stuff like we never did before. And we get past it and we quit. And after we did it a couple of times, we're going like, what's going on here? Some things were kind of slow, you know, we're kind of slow to, because it's more subtle, but sometimes it's very obvious.
Something provoking your spirit, there you go.
But that's an outside attack. Mm-hmm. You did well on that one, Landon. How about reading 40 and 41? We're still in Luke chapter 4.
While the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and laying his hands on each one of them, he was healing them. Demons also were coming out of many, shouting, "You are the Son of God!" But rebuking them, he would not allow them to speak, because they knew him to be the Christ.
So they know, you know, here are those demons again. Why is he bringing this up so much?
I think it's important that we understand that these things exist.
Yeah.
And do you think it's more of troublesome than we really want to admit? Mm-hmm. And more common than people want to admit? Because we just talked about, oh, it's just found here. Now all of a sudden, kaboom, it's found again.
These are like four contexts in a row. He just keeps on talking about it. And he adds another thing to this one now. Did you catch that, Jesse?
The laying on of hands?
Yeah, it said what did he do there?
He was healing the sick with laying on of hands.
Okay, and then, but in the same token, so he was doing two things in this situation that he wasn't doing before, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was healing the sick, and the demons were coming out.
So he was casting out demons and laying hands on for healing.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that interesting? Where before, when somebody was sick, He rebuked it, and they were well immediately. And here he laid hands on the sick of people that were coming up. So he was deciding between should he do what or what.
Yeah. Is he kicking them out or is he healing them?
So he made a decision between if it's demon situation, I'm going to do it this way. And if it's this situation, I'm going to do it this way. So apparently he's showing us two things here. To understand.
There's some discernment that goes into when somebody is ill.
Yes. There's some discernment that he had. And that's what he's showing us. Yeah. And again, he brings out that he allowed them not to speak because they knew he was the Christ. So he didn't want them going around saying this. It wasn't time.
With Jesus, you know, he always did the right thing because he could see everything, spirit, soul, and body. He could see it right into the heart. Perfect diagnosis, no guessing ever. And so if we start reading through the Bible and start practicing it, we can get better and better at doing these where we help people, where a person, we can cast out demons and they will not hurt themselves. There'll be no harm come to them. And you notice whenever Jesus did, there was no harm that came to them and they were always made better. Mm-hmm. And that's the Hippocratic Oath. Of course, some people take a hypocritical oath.
To do harm.
The Hippocratic Oath is to do no man any harm. And any profession should be that way. That's what I think of being a surveyor. I'm licensed in a lot of states to do surveying, and you never want to do anybody any harm. You only want to do the best job. Always do the best for people. That should spill out into every fabric of our life, really. But that is, so here he shows something. Now here he's showing a physical healing with demons, and also with laying on of hands. He's showing a physical healing where he doesn't need to cast the demons out. It was actually in there. This was a sickness. It was something in their flesh, maybe some kind of disease, or maybe they had skin cancer or something like that. And he says any diverse sicknesses. So there's lots of sicknesses that people... you can lay hands on people for. And also the demons were coming out of many. Look at that word. There it is right there.
Many.
This is not that word, many. Not just one, not just two. Do you think we have that problem today, maybe even more than ever with drugs? And
there was not one drug used here.
No. Not said. Right, not for for medication.
Jesus didn't go, okay, hold on, let me go get this.
Let me fill your synthroid order up.
It's interesting that they were shouting, too. So they weren't going quietly.
Crying out, shouting. So there's going to be some noise.
They were getting thrown out of their house.
Yeah, and they weren't pleased.
No.
So he rose up from the synagogue and entered into the home of Simon. And she was cured. And when the sun was setting, all that were weak with diverse sicknesses and so on came to him wherever he, it doesn't say where he is.
So the word got out.
Yeah, that they started just coming to him. He's not in the synagogue, doesn't sound like. And when it was day, he came out into a desert place. And do we read verses 42 through?
43.
Well, it looks like we're coming to an end. We won't have time to read this. I don't want to go just start into this. And until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God."